Hello, this is Wendy Bauer, returning with the Decatur Herald and Review, June 8, 2015. We continue now with the death notices. Rhonda L. Benton, Decatur. Rhonda L. Benton, 74, of Decatur, passed away peacefully on Thursday, June 4, 2015, in McKinley Court. A memorial service will be held at a later date. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be sent to her family, care of Tanzius Logan Funeral Service and Care, in charge of arrangements. Gary Allen Fear, Decatur. Gary Allen Fear, 72, of Decatur, died Thursday, June 4, 2015. Services will be 1 p.m. Tuesday, St. Paul's Lutheran Church. Visitation from 5 to 7 p.m. on Monday at Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home. Burial will be at the Star of Hope Mausoleum in Graceland Cemetery. Memorials may be made to St. Paul's Lutheran Church or American Heart Association. Condolences may be sent to www.gracelandfairlawn.com. Helen Ruth Parker, Decatur. Helen Ruth Parker, 68, of Decatur, departed this life on May 30, 2015, at Decatur Memorial Hospital. Services celebrating her life will be Tuesday, June 9, 2015, at 12 o'clock noon at the Church of the Living God, with Overseer Elston Carter officiating. Visitation 1 hour before the service. Burial will be at Greenwood Cemetery. Professional services entrusted to Walker Funeral Service. Mattie A. Yoder, from Arthur. Mattie A. Helmuth Yoder, 79, of Arthur, died Saturday, June 6, 2015. Services will be at 12:30 p.m. on Tuesday at the Jerry Yoder residence. Visitation will be any time before services in the Yoder residence. Burial will be at the Yoder Cemetery. Arrangements by Edward Funeral Home in Arcola. A listing of funerals for today, Monday, June 8, 2015, include Glenn Daniel Giles of Decatur at 11:30 a.m. in North Fork Cemetery. Lula Frances Hausman, 83, from Tuscola, at 10 a.m. in 40 Martyrs Catholic Church in Tuscola. Otis L. Hurley, 87, of Hammond, at 2 p.m. in Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home. Arlene L. Lichtenberger, 71, of Decatur, at 2 p.m. in Brindlinger and Earl Funeral Homes in Decatur. Dorothy Ann Lichtenwalter, 97, of Windsor, at 10:30 a.m. in Lovins Lockhart Funeral Home in Windsor. Janine R. M. Lovell, 78, of Decatur, at 11 a.m. in Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home. Norma E. Rakers, 88, of Decatur, at 10 a.m. in St. Patrick Catholic Church. And Elaine Helen Weller, 86, of Nokomis, noon in Steele Dawson Funeral Home in Nokomis. And now from the blogs from the Herald and Review, National Cancer Survivors Day by Emily Steele, a Herald and Review staff writer. This was written June 7th. Today is National Cancer Survivors Day, and it's one of my new favorite holidays. The day is set aside to inspire the recently diagnosed and celebrate survivors, defined as anyone with a history of cancer from diagnosis throughout their life. It's a day of hope for America's 14 million cancer survivors, a number that includes my boyfriend, Jake. Jake is a 14-year survivor of medulloblastoma, a type of brain tumor. This year, the stars aligned and National Cancer Survivors Day fell on his 28th birthday. Survivors of all ages face a series of ongoing physical, emotional, and financial challenges long after the cancer has left their body. They have long-term side effects from treatment, including a shorter lifespan. Survivors may have difficulty finding a job and struggle with personal relationships, and there's always the fear of cancer returning. Jake and I have had several conversations about his lingering side effects, the least of which are nerve damage and hearing loss, and the ones still to come. Decatur had its 28th annual Cancer Survivors Day celebration on Tuesday. The most amazing part was when each of the 1,200 survivors were called to raise placards showing how many years since their diagnosis. One by one, the moderator read them off. 1 year, 2 to 5, 5 to 10, and people proudly raised their years high. Fewer survivors joined in as the years climbed, and the moderator continued all the way up to 55 before needing to stop. There was an awkward pause before attempting to move on, but then a woman stood up. Her card read 66 years, and she was met with thunderous applause. A lot of hope comes with 6 decades of beating cancer. And from Decatur, an article titled Superheroes Arise, with a photograph of a picture of superheroes drawn from beads. Amber Knapp is drawing a bead on fantasy art and scoring a lot of sales. She composes her pictures out of hundreds and even thousands of plastic beads the size of a dried pea. She lays them out on grid-like plastic frames and manipulates the beads, available in 113 color variations, as if they were 3D pixels. When the 27-year-old gets done, she protects the image with masking tape and painstakingly irons it to fuse the beads into a finished picture. The effect is extraordinary, and there is no subtle color shift or shading variation beyond the reach of the beads soothed into position under the artist's loving hand. All of which brings us to the subject of Death Personified. She takes the form of Lady Death, a Marvel Comics version of the Grim Reaper, who is rumored to be showing up in a big screen movie soon. Knapp explains that Lady Death encourages bad guys facing the Avengers, who are good guys, to kill even more people because existence is a struggle between life and death. This delicate balance is being messed up by the meddling superheroes who keep saving too many victims. With Lady Death's face portrayed as half pretty woman and half grinning skull, Knapp is dead sure she is beating a hot seller. I am so excited to beat her because I think she is going to look so awesome, Knapp says. No one has done anything like it. She's been into beading for 2 years and now owns Rated E for Everyone Designs. Backing her up in the venture and helping out with the beading chores are her close friend Anthony Shepard and several other colleagues. Their first big retail foray was attending the 2014 Wizard World Chicago Comic Con, a festival that pulls in tens of thousands of lovers of comics and gaming over 4 days. Knapp and her crew took some 400 designs on a leap of faith and weren't sure they would sell anything. My philosophy was go big or go home, she says. We sold 95% of what we took up there. Shepard always knew his friend, who has an associate degree in graphic design and can design her work from scratch, had the talent. But he was still blown away by the speed with which other comic fans adopted Rated E's beaded progeny. They sold so fast, he adds, I couldn't believe it. Knapp's day job is working as an engineer for Acorn Pharmaceuticals in Decatur, and the ability to focus on complex projects appears woven into her DNA. Her beaded art ranges in size from fridge magnets to complex portraits measuring up to 4 feet wide and 18 inches tall and requiring more than 16,700 beads and days of work. But when the mistress of beading is on a roll, time becomes irrelevant. I can bead from 10 Saturday morning until 2 Sunday morning, Knapp says. If I can get into the groove, I'm gone. Shepherd, a mechanic by trade, also has come to learn the nuts and bolts of good beading, and if suitably inspired by subject, can crank out his own remarkable work. But sadly, while superheroes generally tend toward invincibility, their beaded reflections are not so tough. Shepherd points to a large jar of bees in shades of gray that are the mortal remains of his pride and joy, a portrait of the humble but brave game character, Dark Link, from the Legends of Zelda. All I had left to do was the shoulders and the head. His legs, his shield, and his sword were done, says Shepherd 27, who really dug this project and poured 30 hours into it after Knapp got it started. Then Knapp shut a bedroom door a little too loudly one day and startled Kalea, her very real cat, which scampered so violently across the table holding the unfinished portrait that Dark Link crashed to the floor, scattering into myriad pieces. Knapp decided to get the pain over with quickly and sent a picture of the destruction to her friend while he was at work. Shepherd contemplated making a special visit to strangle the cat. Later, he calmed down. There were now plans to resurrect Dark Link with Knapp's help, and his next construction phase will be kept clear of Kalea. Knapp points out that, as if it explains everything, Kalea is named after a demonic Japanese cartoon character. An article titled Electronics Recycling, Powerful Help for Environment, is by Chris Luzvardi, a Herald and Review staff writer. It starts with a picture of Ryan Lewis unloading two more CPUs during an electronics recycling event at Progress City, USA. From Decatur. By the time Raymond and William McKinney made their way to the front of the line Saturday at Progress City in Decatur, their heavy lifting was over. They had already helped remove a large television set from the basement of their sister's home and driven it to a Macon County Environmental Management Department electronics collection event. They knew taking it to be recycled was one of the few choices they had to get rid of such a large television. "Nobody else takes it," Raymond McKinney said. A crew from Advanced Technology Recycling, or ATR, was working nearly nonstop to take the electronics hundreds of drivers had brought and begin sorting the items. The line of vehicles snaked around a quarter of the fenced site, with some drivers waiting more than an hour in the line. "The effort from all involved is worthwhile," said Deb Garrett, the Environmental Management Department's director. "It's a priority to me anytime we can keep toxic materials out of landfills," Garrett said. The agency is planning to organize 3 collections this year, with the first held in March. She said the March collection was the largest in 4 years, with more than 660 cars and nearly 103,000 pounds of material collected. The latest collection, appearing nearly as popular, with materials from 550 vehicles, dropped off during the 4 hours the gates were open. Many of those stopping by the event were repeat visitors, Garrett said. "It's a great event, judging by the line," said Jim Underwood of Moroa, as he dropped off materials. He needed a trailer attached behind his vehicle to haul the television sets he'd wanted to recycle. The next scheduled collection is a mega recycling event from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Saturday, October 3rd at Progress City, Garrett said. Electronics, eyeglasses, tires, CFLs, VHS tapes and CDs, flags, and rechargeable batteries will be accepted during that event, she said. With fewer companies taking electronics to be recycled due to the cost, Garrett said the collections have become necessary for area residents. The items collected were being sorted and packaged to be brought to ATR's facility in Pontiac, said Ray McGee, the company's business development manager. Some older televisions contain lead, which McGee said is important to keep out of landfills and away from groundwater. McGee said weather conditions were ideal for the dozen or so workers to do the heavy lifting. The event has proven successful, with McGee expecting to fill at least the 4 semi-truck trailers that were on site. The logistics of holding the event at Progress City have proven successful, said Bo Hanger, Richland Community College Director of Outdoor Exposition Center and Special Events. Drivers arrived more than an hour before the gates were scheduled to open, he said. Hanger said having the ability to keep the line off main streets such as Mound Road is important for safety reasons. An article titled Grow Decatur to Host Development Workshops. A series of development workshops have been scheduled as part of the Grow Decatur initiative following community meetings in May. Each workshop will focus on a specific community improvement area, with some already existing areas of Grow Decatur's focus, with others being considered as potential new focus areas. The workshops will be in the Madden Auditorium in the Decatur Public Library, 130 North Franklin Street. Poverty and Low Expectations will be 4 to 5:30 p.m. Wednesday, June 10th. Funding, 7:30 to 9 a.m., and Education, 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Thursday, June 11th. Economic Development, 7:30 to 9 a.m. on Friday, June 12th. Housing in the City, from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Monday, June 15th. Grow the Middle, from 7:30 to 9 a.m. and Vibrant and Attractive, from 4 to 5 p.m. on Tuesday, June 16th. Workforce Development, from 7:30 to 9 a.m. 20 to 40, from 11:30 a.m. to 1 o'clock p.m. and Relationships, 4 to 5:30 p.m. on Wednesday, June 17th. And finally, Recruiting, from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Thursday, June 18th. The topic of a 7:30 to 9 a.m. session Friday, June 19th has yet to be determined. More information is available at www.growdecatur.org, by emailing growdecatur@gmail.com, or calling Bethany Wetherholt at 217-424-6296. From the Lee News Service, Lincoln appoints new mayor. From Lincoln, Alderman Scott Cooper has been appointed mayor of Lincoln to finish the term of Keith Snyder, who resigned earlier this spring to take a state job. Cooper, a retired Department of Corrections employee and National Guard member, will serve until April 30, 2017. I was surprised and humbled when receiving the nomination from my fellow alderman, Cooper said in a statement after his appointment this week. I know this has been a long process for some in our community, and I just want to get to work making this city better. I believe we are moving in a positive direction, and that's something I hope to keep going. The lifelong Lincoln resident and 2000 graduate of Greenville College retired this year as parole commander for the District 3 Sex Offender Unit at Corrections, where he worked for 31 years. He retired in 2007 from the National Guard after serving 21 years. Cooper has served on the city's Planning Commission and was appointed Ward 1 alderman in 2014. He was elected to the Ward 1 seat in April. The mayoral vacancy arose after Snyder, in the midst of his second term, was appointed by Governor Bruce Rauner in March to a $93,926 per year post in the Illinois Labor Relations Board. In an article titled, Marion Brings Veterans' Vision to Conservation Director's Job, written by Emily Steele, Herald and Review staff writer. 3 decades of local conservation experience will be put to good use with the recent appointment of Paul Marion as the head of the county's Natural Areas and Historic Sites. Since 1978, the year Marion started as an assistant forester, the Macon County Conservation District has grown from a young agency still building itself into a center point of the region with more than 3,200 acres of land dedicated to conservation and education. "We're not the best kept secret now," Marion said, referring to a long-standing joke about the district's anonymity. Now, as its executive director, his focus is holding on to and expanding the success. Marion will be the district's 4th director since its creation in 1966. "I stayed with the organization because of the great people we work with," Marion said. "It's a great place to work." The district's Board of Trustees began the search for a new executive director in January when Kathy Murner announced her May 8th retirement after 16 years in the position. The recruiting agency, GovHRUSA, was hired and received more than 50 applications for the job, several of which came from within the district. In Paul's case, he brought a great understanding of what the Macon County Conservation District entails, Board President Ed Leonard said. Leonard said he and other board members were impressed by his knowledge and leadership skills, displayed previously at regular board meetings, and his ideas during a series of interviews. Marion grew up in Minnesota, where his love of nature came from his mother. "My mom was really instrumental. She would take us camping, and she was the one that instilled an appreciation for the great outdoors in all the kids in our family," he said. But it was his father's job with Archer Daniels Midland Company that brought the family to Decatur when the corporate headquarters moved here. He went to school at Southeastern Illinois College and earned a 2-year degree in forestry. At the time he joined the district, 12 years after its formation, the agency's focus was less on restoration and more on public development and access to its areas. "Back then we were planting a lot of the prairie," Marion said. He was promoted to forester in 1991 and operations manager in 1998, a position he still holds until a replacement is hired. In that time, he saw more people using the areas for a variety of reasons, from weddings to biological research. Through Millikan University's PACE program, Marion received his Bachelor of Science degree in Management and Organizational Leadership in 2005. He fit in homework and research around a full-time job and family commitments to his wife, Susan, and 2 sons. Now, with Conservation District use at an all-time high, Marion said the goal is to stay the course of awareness and education and grow their volunteer base and programs. He referred to the district's 2004 long-range master plan as his guide, showing his roots in operations by first pointing to fighting invasive plant species as an ongoing mission. "The ecosystem out there has been out of balance for so long, it's going to take decades to get restoration to a point where maybe we can back off management," Marion said. "The focus on restoration is going to continue. We can't let up. If we let up, it'll bounce back. But the work is worth it, especially when area landowners take note and ask how they can use the same technique on their own property." The executive director also leads the Conservation District Foundation, the primary fundraiser for the district. Foundation Board President Susan Vermette said she hopes Marion's built-in community contacts and volunteer relationships will help them network to expand fundraising efforts. "So much of what we do and they do is through volunteers," Vermette said, "and he has those good relationships with the volunteers." And now, an article titled "Children Museum Takes Children on Safari to Zoo" from Decatur, written by Rachel Rogers, a staff writer for the Herald and Review. Looking through decorated toilet paper tubes fastened into binoculars, 20 youngsters took on the role of safari explorers on Friday. Through an animal-themed summer camp with the Children's Museum of Illinois, the group gathered their crafted binoculars and visors before walking next door to Scoville Zoo. During the excursion, several of the explorers encountered their favorite animals, including 5-year-old Logan Hallam, who took great interest in a certain pack of wobbling creatures. "The penguins were looking at us," he said fervidly. "We were moving our hands on the glass, and the penguin, his mouth opened." Hallam and a few of his fellow campers would trace the path of a Humboldt penguin swimming in its enclosure, laughing and jumping when it would come their way. For 5-year-old Natalie Tabor, who favors horses and goats, the petting zoo served as the most exciting aspect of the adventure. "I liked the soft goats. One was big and fat and going to have babies," she said. Sisters Vivian and Hazel Adams eagerly pet the goats roaming around the area, with their grandmother keeping a close watch and ready to step in when the animals began nibbling on their clothes. In addition to parents and museum staff, the children were also accompanied by junior volunteer Jake Blackburn, 12, who will be assisting with events throughout the summer, along with about 20 other youth volunteers. He said he built many good memories at the museum when he was younger and hopes to pass that on to other children. Kate Fleming, interim executive director at the museum, said it is important for children to participate in engaging activities during the summer months away from school when they are more likely to lose some learning skills. "It's better if they are able to get enrichment activities and be out and about doing something different," she said. "It's a way to keep them fresh-minded." With many of the children at the pre-kindergarten age, interaction with other children helps develop their social skills and bolster their confidence, said Katie Van Meter, guest services coordinator at the museum, who led the camp. "By interacting with other kids and different ages, they get a head start on how to function in a classroom with others," she said. Summer camps will take place on Wednesdays and Fridays throughout June and part of August. The museum will kick off a new week-long camp series, July 13th through July 17th, called Camp 55, which focuses on science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics, or STEAM, STEAM. The theme of the camp series is flight. For more information, visit cmofil.org. And this has been Wendy Bauer with the Decatur Herald and Review on June 8, 2015. I look forward to reading with you again soon. Thank you.